Pete, this is Paris, chilling with the Odd Man on Down with the Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop. You got it, man. Nice and easy, right on. There's no problem.
Turn up the bass!
You're listening to Down with the Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop.
Back, we are here on Down with the Kings. This, of course, is a place where hip hop legends hang out, and I'm joined by a legend on the program on this episode. He's been called the Black Panther of hip hop, none other than my man, Paris, is in the building. What's happening, Paris?
There he is. What's going on, man? How you doing?
We're good, good. Pleased to have you join us and chop it up a bit. Hey, I know it's a busy time for you.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. I'm fresh off a new release off this Pistol Politics album, and making the rounds right now. So I appreciate you lending me an ear.
No doubt. And let's talk about the current, and maybe we'll go back in a little bit. But Pistol Politics, obviously, gun violence is it kind of seems that there hasn't been a whole lot of change. When you think about when you first broke out, you know, you were sort of you touched on some of these things, and it seems to be that they still exist today.
Yeah, it's not a lot of change at all, honestly. And you know, police brutality is still pervasive. You know, government malfeasance is still pervasive, and it's. Really is a way to you know, speak out against what's going on in a way that's entertaining and in a way that engages a lot of people that I respect who are in the game that you know, feel the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are on this record from Chuck D and, oh, my goodness, man, the East Side of Cam and Dead Prez Dub C, it's a lot of E-40. There are hella people on this record that you know, all kind of are banding together,
right,
as a collective united front against systematic oppression and racism. And that's really what Pistol Politics is about. It's kind of an anomaly in this day and age,
right,
in hip hop, really in music in general, but in hip hop in particular. You know, that's our chosen medium. And there's a lot of people in hip-hop, man, that for whatever reason either don't speak on issues like we would like for them to or just don't know. And so,
right,
you know, I've always felt as though it falls upon me to do what I know to be right,
mm-hmm,
and to get down in a way that is, you know, has as much entertainment value as possible, man. So,
right,
you know, here we are in 2015, damn near 30 years later after my introduction to the game.
Yeah.
25 years, I should say, and
you're making yourself older than you are, Paris.
Man, that's all good. I don't, you know, if I looked around and you know, I hadn't done anything, then I might be looking,
right,
at the floor and ashamed.
Yeah,
you know, but I got some stripes in the game, and you know, and I've had a good time. It's been good to me. You know, I've been good to it, in that I think that I'm value added to it, and it's just a blessing to be able to still be getting down.
No doubt. You know, as you're talking and listening to some of the artists that got on with you, I'm imagining that the conversations for, hey, you know, get on this project or whatever, wasn't a difficult one to have, or it wasn't like, you know, like you were trying to convince people to. I'm imagining that,
you know,
very much.
It was exactly the opposite. Everybody wanted to be down because they wanted to be down and they wanted to say these things, you know. And I always used to joke throughout the course of my career that I had kind of been boxed in, and that there's a specific,
right,
type of music that people have come to expect from me, and I can't do anything outside of that box, really. You know, I can't really,
right,
you know, certain other genres of music I can't really get down with. I can't get down, you know, basically talking about anything outside of what's expected of me, because, you know, the hardcore militant direction that I've taken in, I've been on that page, you know, since the inception of my career, so coming with anything else would have people confused, right? Well, a lot of the acts that I'm dealing with that aren't on that page also have felt up until this point that they haven't been able to necessarily really go in and speak on socially aware material in the way that I present it, because that's not what's expected of them. You know, so if you have somebody that, like E-40, who's a mob rapper, and he, you know, he does party rap and whatnot, or Dub C, who's known, or the Eastsiders, who are known to do gangster rap, you know, down with,
mm-hmm,
Snoop's camp and Ice Cube's camp, respectively,
mm-hmm,
when they come together and get down on a project like this, they can actually speak on what's on their mind and really address issues kind of in an environment that is accepting of that.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's a trip in hip hop because a lot of times things are kept artificially dumb and artificially young, and a lot of people feel constricted in their ability to be able to do the things that they would otherwise want to do. And that's the beauty of this project and the beauty of Gorilla Funk is that I can afford people the opportunity to be able to do what they know to be right and to just bring it, you know, unapologetically and get down with speaking on issues that should be of concern to everybody.
Right, right. I'm imagining that you had people think they know or understand you because you take this militant, sort of aggressive approach. Is there points where you've been totally just misunderstood because they think they know who you are?
Not from other artists know what's up. You know,
right.
I've encountered people, even in interviews, you know, and just people on the street who kind of like expecting like Darth Vader or something, you know, based on the material, you know, and I kick it like everybody else and I have a good time like everybody else. I'm just concerned with our condition and, you know, I don't waste my ability to be able to reach people.
Right, right. As I see it, your music certainly challenges the status quo and makes people think about issues and address them. Have you seen any kind of, from your standpoint, any kind of sort of progression that makes you say, yeah, this is, you know, we've made some positive steps forward?
All I've seen is regression, honestly.
Mm.
And even with the advent of Obama being in office, man, everybody is thinking that, you know, racism was going to ease up and things were going to be better, and when in reality, conditions are a lot worse.
Right.
There's been a huge blowback as a result of him being in office and as a result of him being in office and failing us in terms of our expectations. You know, being that we're still an imperialist war machine that spreads the agenda of the status quo globally and rapes and pillages and murders people of color around the world. You know, that still exists. Police brutality still exists. Economic inequality still exists. All these things, you know, are still in place that affect people everywhere. And the insidious nature of the Obama administration is that he smiles and sings out green and dances with folks and makes you think that he's like one of you, like your homeboy, like everything is all good. But it's exactly the same thing going on that was going on under the Bush administration and going on under administrations before that. So the dangerous nature is that it allows people to let their guard down.
Right.
And that is what is the scariest part of it all. You know, with the Bush administration, we had a very clearly defined enemy.
Yeah, you know what's coming.
He epitomized what was wrong. Him and, you know, Cheney and Rumsfeld, and a lot of them, they all epitomized what was wrong with the world at that particular snapshot in time. And you know, the slickest move probably in the history of the United States is to have Obama in office, basically touting the same line, but in effect making the people relax.
Right.
And it's a very dangerous time that we're living in.
You know, I even think back to even his campaign. It was all around change and hope, and you know, and so when we talk about people relax, those are the words and those are the themes that will make you relax and let, you know, let your guard down and feel good about what we're potentially
going to do.
And
of course, you know, the overwhelming majority of people in this country are people of color. You know, we're all different races and creeds and nationalities, but we're all collectively the majority. And collectively, the majority wanted to see an actual physical change in office. You know, so the fact that he's black, don't get it twisted. He's in office for a lot of us. We voted for him because of that, because we identified with him and felt that he would identify with us. You know, hindsight is 2020, and in retrospect, the fact that, you know, he was being co-signed by Kennedys and stuff should have been, you know, one of the things that alerted us to the true nature of what was happening. And
gotcha.
You know, it's very easy to get caught up in the moment and get lost because, you know, the he's a strong orator, and you know the messages and the way that they were delivered felt very heartfelt. And I'm sure there is some good in him, but in general, what he represents in his administration is the war machine that is the United States, that is white supremacy personified.
Right. I wonder how much of that really is him versus just the system that you get caught up in. You know, it's really easy to think that you have a choice or you can make change, but if the system is that large, you don't, right?
Exactly. Well, you don't have choice here. You know, it's the illusion of choice. And the illusion of choice is that is the greatest smoke and mirrors game in the history of smoke and mirrors games, is thinking that, you know, it's providing a false choice. Where no matter what you do, you end up in the same place.
Yeah. You know, Paris, as you're talking, I'm wondering really, do you remember that moment where you kind of woke up? Because I'm guessing at some point, you know, you weren't always just sort of in tune with what was going on. Do you recall a moment where you said, wait a second, this isn't right. You know, what I've been taught isn't the way it is. Do you recall that moment?
Well, I remember, you know, really having my eyes awakened when I got out of college, you know.
Uh-huh.
And realized that I knew very little about what I thought I knew about. That was the first stage in my like grand awakening. I don't know if that's what you want to call it. But then the second time was after 9/11. You know, and even up till 9/11, you know, of course, I always really did realize that I needed to operate as a contrarian when it came to whatever the government was talking about and whatever was being touted on media. You know, it's like if I take the opposite stance, chances are I'm in the right?
Right.
Which has been the case, and it's done right by me, because 9 times out of 10, everything that's being told to us is being told to us for the benefit of somebody other than us, right? So after 9/11, when I began to really take a look at what was going on, the you know, what many people feel is a self-inflicted wound with regards to the terrorist events of that day and the subsequent increase in government power, increase in government surveillance and kind of unchecked rampant authority that we gave them blank check authorization to pursue.
Gotcha.
Those things still remain in place to this day. And if you know your history, and you know, like the burning of the Reichstag was pretty much in Germany was pretty much the exact carbon copy, down to the last minute detail of the events of that day, and you realize that these events have taken place in the past before,
right?
And have repeated themselves. You know, it's like the stock market. You know,
yeah.
The stock market exists to get over on people who don't know any better. And you know, if you don't have any reference point with regards to hard times and how things occurred before, where the common folk got left holding the bag, then you will buy into it all over again, right?
Right.
So it's easy for history to repeat itself if you don't know history. And that's what we saw with 9/11, and with the increase in power and the unification of the United States under this pseudo patriotism that we saw, you know, at the time. And and that was when my second stage of awakening took place.
Gotcha.
Where I realized, yes, everything really actually is as insidious as I've been saying it's been, but now it's really playing out in real time. And making a move in real time. This is exactly what's going on, and the slickness of it all is making it appear as though they're the good guys.
Right.
You know, every cop is a hero. You know, here every soldier is a hero here. You know, every black man is a thug and a menace here.
Mm.
You know, so that's why there's such a huge racial divide when it comes to looking at the problem of police brutality here.
Right.
You know, every black man was pretty much asking for it or looking for it. You know,
right?
You got a teenager.
They had it coming.
Yeah, exactly. You got a teenager, for example, walking to the store to get iced tea and some Skittles, and some wannabe rent a cop pulls him over on his own, you know, and murders him in cold blood. And we're also, you got to realize, living in an environment where it's easy to twist the facts to
yes.
fit the agenda that you want to put forth. It's easy
right.
to interpret statistics. It's easy to watch whatever respective news organization, whatever respective news outlet that you want
mm-hmm.
to watch to reaffirm what you already believe. So,
believe.
You
right.
know, conservative people watch Fox, liberal people listen to MSNBC and Democracy Now, and Pacifica Radio, and things of that nature. And and never really are taught or challenged to think outside of what they already believe. And the reason
gotcha.
Why they do it is because they don't want to be challenged.
Right.
They
right.
want to operate right. within the confines of what's comfortable for them.
Right. It's easy, right? It's easy to believe what you believe
mm-hmm.
and not have to challenge your own thinking.
Exactly. So, you know, if you're already predisposed to believe that black people are a menace and the police are right no matter what, you can find an outlet that reinforces that.
Right.
And that's
yep.
the environment that we live in, especially in the, I don't know how it is in Canada, but in America, that is exactly what
right.
it is.
Right.
And,
well,
you know,
well,
of course,
you,
there's profit in division. There's profit mm-hmm. in war and
yes.
conflict. You
yes.
know, there's profit in the illusion of, you know, red states and blue states and conservative versus liberal. There's profit in Democrat versus Republican. And
mm-hmm.
as long as people can profit from it, they will keep things divided artificially.
Right.
Because you realize
right,
that if
right.
you ever actually break bread with somebody that doesn't feel the same way as you do, but if you actually break bread with them and you're in a common place and you're just going through life, you're in the grocery store and you know in the checkout line, or you're in the line at the movies or whatever, you know, you're cordial with them and everything is all good. You know, it's not until you are in an environment that is politically charged where people show their nature based
right.
on whatever the respective situation is, you know. But in general, people tend to get along in general.
Yes.
You know, it's just, you know, just like when you're young, when you're a child, man, and you like playing stickball on the street or something, you get along with everybody.
That's it. You're in a sandbox. You
know,
you didn't care about color.
Yeah, you learn that bullshit
really
later on, right? You know
right.
what I'm saying? You learn the division and the bullshit and the hatred and the inequality and the stereotyping and all that comes later in life,
right.
you know, and so that there's profit in that,
mm.
you know, we're just living
mm.
the grown-up version of it.
That's it. That's it. I get it. I get it. You know, one thing, Paris, I actually want to sort of preparing for a conversation, you've been on a few record labels, quite a few, I think. Is that a function of you not having the right label or you not being comfortable?
Initially, I was on Tommy Boy, which was a lucrative situation. That was my
uh-huh.
debut album, Devil Made Me Do It. And then I delivered my second album, which was Sleeping With the Enemy, also to Tommy Boy. But
mm-hmm.
they couldn't put it out because of the Cop Killer fallout from Ice-T. This
see.
Is in the early 90s. He had a song called
yep.
Cop Killer that
yeah.
basically got a lot of people kicked off who embraced messages of dissent, right? So.
Right.
I got let go. A bunch of gangster rap got let go. He got let go. We all got kicked off of Warner Music collectively. And that record bounced around. It went from Rick Rubin's label, Deaf American, to Luke, to Four from Broadway, to Cold Chillin'. It went a bunch of different places where it had landed temporarily. When it was
okay.
trying to, when, you know, when we were trying to release it, and they were all tied in some way to a parent company.
Gotcha.
And parent companies have shareholders, and shareholders were being picketed by, you know, C. Dolores Tucker and all of these folks who were calling for, you know, an outright ban of material like this at the time. And so we all got let go. And so I was forced to become independent. You know, I never said I wanted to be independent out the gate, and you know, the trajectory of my career would probably be a lot different had I been on Def Jam or something of that nature.
Mm.
But I ended up putting it out on my own, and it sold a lot of records, you know, of Sleeping With the Enemy on my own, and I've been pretty much independent ever since. The success of that yielded a distribution deal with Priority Records, which I was with for a while, and then the advent of gangster rap really kicked in, and you know, Priority, my label mates, were, N.W.A. and Ice Cube and Dre had the Chronic and all of that, and they were really going in solely in that direction. And I ended up leaving them and going to EMI, and I was with EMI, Caroline EMI, for a while. And this was right after Sonic Jihad. This was right after 9/11.
Okay.
And I had an album called Sonic Jihad that I could not get distribution for because of this knee-jerk response.
Political, right.
Toward people who had something to say that was political, that railed against the machine, right? So I had to make it available as an import, and it did well enough to get me the EMI deal. And, you know, it's no longer enough to say you want to ban a record. You have to snip it at its inception. You know,
okay.
So if you eliminate its ability to actually even be found on a distribution level, that's how you effectively censor something. You know, getting on TV and complaining about it only fosters additional sales, right?
Gotcha.
So you're trying to tell somebody what they can have, you know, what they can or can't have. They're going to want to know what it's about, right?
Absolutely.
But to really shut it down,
cash,
you got to shut it down on a distribution level. So, they had done that after 9/11, and then Gorilla Funk was born. My label, Gorilla Funk, was born. And Sonic Jihad came out in response to the times. And then I rolled with them for a minute, and then I went over to a company called Fontana Universal. And then they, you know, it hasn't been so much me label jumping as much as it's been an implosion of the music industry.
Gotcha.
So Fontana got sold to a company called InGrooves, and then I ended up leaving them because I didn't want to have a digital-only presence.
I see.
Right, because they became digital-only, and it's like, okay, well, I still want to be able to get physical goods in stores. I still want CDs and vinyl and you know, apparel merchandise and things of that nature to be able to be in stores. You know, I want T-shirt lines and posters and sweatshirts and all that be available to people who share this same viewpoint politically that are unable to get that material reflected in their you know, in their popular music consumption anywhere else. So that's why Gorilla Funk exists. And
gotcha.
That's why I keep, you know, looking for the optimum situation.
Right. Well, it's great to hear that, you know, again, as you said, looking at the optimum situation, you keep your eyes open. And you know, even the fact that you talk about that you left because you didn't want to be digital, I mean, that what that says to me clearly is that you know exactly, you know, what you want for yourself as an artist, as opposed to just kind of accepting, well, here's what it is, and you sign on the dotted line and go ahead kind of a thing. So, I mean, I think that's big.
And the argument could be made, of course. I appreciate that. But the argument could be made that, you know, certain situations are fundamentally different than what they were when you first went into them. If the technology changes, then the very basis for the relationship is called into question, right?
Okay.
And that's pretty much been it. It's like I need to have all cylinders firing at all times. So if for whatever reason your situation, your solution no longer enables me to be able to put XYZ in brick and mortar retail stores, which, you know, which is still important, and there, you know, there's still impulse purchases that people have. There's people still want tangible goods. If they can't get them, then, you know, I gotta find a place that will allow me to get them.
Right.
You know, will allow me to make them available, and that's been it. You know, plus, you know, my demo skews a little bit older too. You know, it's like I'm not selling records to 15-year-olds. You know,
got it.
Who are of the mindset and of a generation that avoid ownership pretty much of everything.
Right.
You know, they you know, younger generations want to share everything. They don't want to own it. They don't want to own a house. They don't want to own a car. They want to ride share. They want to share their music. They want to be on the cloud and all that. Right. I get that. That's what their mentality is. And I don't look down on it, but there's a certain generation of people that also want to own. I want to own a home. I want to own several homes. I want to own cars. I want to own my music collection. I want to own my movie collection. I want, you know, and I want it to be tangible and finite. And I want to be able to say that it is mine and it's paid for and it's in the rear view right, as I accumulate. Right. And so I don't know if that's an old school outlook or not, but that, you know, that's how I grew up. You know,
yeah, I'm with you.
It's like
some
people, some people lease a car, and they'll lease a car in perpetuity, man. So, you know, they always have a brand new car that they never own. And then there's some people who will buy a car and it's paid for and they file it away.
Right.
You know, it just depends on what your outlook is. No one approach is any better than another.
Right. You're absolutely right. You know, Paris, when you touched on sort of going through your history and different labels, and you mentioned Priority and thought about all, and the gangster rap that existed there. It seems to me back in the 90s, there was certainly diversity in hip hop in terms of the different avenues. You know, you had whether it's the political, or the gangster, or the party, or you had
that
all. It kind of seems like now the diversity, the number of lanes has certainly shrunk, and that it's not the same. Do you see it that way as well?
It's all strip clubs and bottle popping now.
Mm.
And tight ass pants.
You know
what I'm saying? So, you know, it, depending on how tight your pants are will determine whether or not pistol politics is for you.
Right.
Trust me on that.
It kind of feels like a shame because, I mean, and I'll tell you, in the 90s, I absolutely loved hip-hop for what it did and that diversity. And if you felt like, you know, being on that conscious tip, let's say, you could get that. If you wanted to hear some hard lyricism or something, you got that. And I heard someone once say that, you know, music is now like one long music video. It's all one, they all sound the same.
Well, yeah, it's that, and it's been co-opted by corporations to sell you things.
Right.
So if hip-hop exists on a corporate level, you know, and when I say on a corporate level, that means it's available for mass consumption everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
When hip-hop exists like that, it exists like that for a purpose, and that is to sell you things that it is often coupled with. So I can sell you a Toyota minivan and something from Burger King and some new shoes, and I can sell you an iPod, you know, I can put a Jay-Z record on a Samsung or something like that. And all of these avenues look at music, from a lost leader perspective. Right. So, you know, if I have a record that, for example, is in Best Buy and I have determined that I want $15 a CD. Right. And Best Buy in turn turns around and sells it for $8.99. They sell it for cheaper than what my wholesale price is, because they want to entice people to come into Best Buy and buy it, and buy some jeans and a refrigerator or whatever else they sell it. You see what I'm saying?
And
that is kind of the environment we live in. Same with like Starbucks. You ever go into Starbucks and you see CDs in there on Starbucks music? Well, understand that Starbucks is not keeping the doors open by selling CDs.
No.
And those are like the fringe benefits of you coming into a Starbucks and buying coffee and buying whatever else it is that they have in there, you know, that thermoses and whatnot. They have CDs of, you know, coffee house artists that, you know, are specifically put in place to be enticing to their demographic.
Right. Yeah, no, interesting point. Yep.
Right, you're in Toronto, so I don't know if you have the same big box retailers we have, but like
all of our
music big box retailers are gone.
Yes.
Right, all of our standalone, our warehouse, the warehouse, Tower, Musicland, Sam Goody,
H&B,
all of those are gone. Only things that you know continue to exist that carry music are things that sell other stuff, right?
Correct.
That's just the nature of the environment right now.
What a shame. What I thought, as I said, I think it's a good opportunity to jump into Break the Grip of Shame, was a song that you came out off on your first album.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that was pretty slick. That was pretty slick right there.
Yeah.
Give yourself some dap, man. That was pretty smooth transition.
We do
Break
what we
the
do,
Grip of Shame. There you go. Break the Grip of Shame was the first single off my debut album, my very first single ever, off The Devil Made Me Do It on Tommy Boy.
That's it. That's it. Well, I tell you what, we're going to jump into that. Give our chance, our listeners a chance to hear that, reminisce a little bit. And when we come back, we're going to talk about why it was banned off of MTV. That's big, man. That's big. Right here, Down with the Kings, The Odd Man with Paris. Break the Grip of Shame.
Close attention and witness knowledge born on a microphone for the people that I call my own. Remember back when good rap was just a cool dance hit, even though it wasn't saying this. Well, them days is gone, I don't play that. Pick the punk and I'll say like whack. Stick with the sick style for the serious. Hip hop lovers can't get enough of this. Black tracks on wax are so smooth, you can't help but to start to move. This is a call and a plea for unity. Black is back, uplift and be free. Keep pushing, the movement moves on. So strong now. With a raised fist, I resist. I don't burn, so don't you dare rip. A step to me, I'm strong and black and proud. And for the bishop, I ain't down. Life in the city's already rough enough without some young sucker running up. You don't know me, so don't step. I roll to the right and then bust your lip. Paris is my name, I don't sleep. I drop science and keep the peace. Here to bust this for better justice. Another dope Scarface release. This is a serious style for the gifted. Pro-black radical raps uplifting. Still growing, the power so strong. You can't stop it now.
We are here on Down with the Kings. You just heard Paris' Break the Grip of Shame, first single off his debut album. When you think about that song, it's got to bring back a lot of memories.
Yeah, yeah, man. That was one that pretty much set it off for me. I got signed at the Humpty Dance video with that song.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
That's a long time ago, man. My homeboy, Pete the Digital Underground, and Tupac and Shaq G. Money Beat.
Yeah,
that was in. Yeah, so that was the jump off for me.
That's it. You also reminded me earlier off air. You talked about being in the video for "Down with the Kings" and the Run DMC.
Yeah,
and I mean that when we joked about that, everybody was in that video, which was great.
Yep. That was at the time. Believe it or not, I had my first label, Scarface Records, and I was going hard on them that night, trying to sign them. That's
right.
Why I was there. I was actually trying to sign Run DMC. Nobody knows that. But I was trying to make it happen and, you know, definitely put my bid in. But, we were unable to realize that.
Gotcha. So you decided to hang on being the video. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a hell of folks that I knew there, man. You know, label mates and people I have been in contact with. It's all good.
Right. Now, Break the Grip of Shame was banned off on MTV. What do you remember about that, like when you first heard? What was the...
Well, you know, they did that. I really didn't know what to think. You know, honestly, at the time, I was so brand new to it. I mean, I was still in college when I got my deal. And, you know, everything was new. Rap was an exception to the rule. There were you know, plenty of places that were not accepting of hip-hop. You got to realize
right.
that. You know, hip-hop was still an anomaly on radio shows and TV shows. And MTV was a hard nut to crack back then. You know, and there was definitely a pretty strong racial divide and a pretty big backlash against hip hop. So
gotcha.
It didn't really surprise me, and you know, I really didn't. That didn't surprise me, and what I've been surprised by is, you know, kind of the acceptance of militancy. You know,
okay.
I've had a pretty good run in my career, and every now and then I sit back and I'm amazed at what I've gotten away with. But Break the Grip of Shame, you know, Break the Grip of Shame, honestly, was very mild by
gotcha.
The standards of some of the things that I put out. You know, Sonic Jihad with a plane crashing into the White House after 9/11, and, you know, Bush Killer and things like that. I mean, there have been some pretty strong statements that I've made,
right.
you know, with a very strong rationale behind them. That have been allowed to fly, you know. So now here I am with you know, with Pistol Politics in 2015, you know, in light of you know, rampant police brutality and black on black crime and corporate malfeasance and war and you know, political unrest, and you know, I'm right back in the saddle, man. So
that's
all
it,
good.
That's it. Maybe Break the Grip was just a lead up to the other stuff, right? It was a build up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, plus, you know, you're supposed to, as an artist, grow and mature and hopefully get better as time goes on, you know, and I'm pretty confident that that's been the case, at least with what I've been doing.
Very cool, very cool. Paris, I mean, we've really been appreciative of you hanging out with us here on Down with the Kings.
Thank you for having me.
No doubt about that. One last thing is there truth to the fact you were a stockbroker at one point in time in your career?
Yeah, yep.
Wow.
My online degree is in managerial economics, man, and I always kind of adopted a Robin Hood-ish outlook, you know, because I figured, you know, why leave it up to somebody else? Why wouldn't I get in the belly of the beast and learn what it is I'm railing against? And that was always the... you know, the objective, and was fortunate enough to have done well during the tech bubble, which was the jump off for the formation of Gorilla Funk.
Gotcha. Not a bad plan B to have. I mean, just in case the music didn't work out, right?
Yeah, you know, and I'm just fortunate I went to school and learned something that I could make a living doing. You know,
good.
Really. But being able to see it and, you know, and make a conscious decision as to what I would and would not do and what I would and would not go for and you know, not being at the mercy of people, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of the music business is a favor-driven business, you know, and that, you know, your livelihood really truly is determined by whether or not people like you.
Mm.
And so I had to, you know, remove some of that uncertainty. You know,
right.
to be able to do what I really want to do
right.
and to be able to be unapologetic doing it.
Nice. Well, hey, that's again, awesome to be able to, you know, do things on your own terms, which is clearly what you did. Where can our listeners catch up with you and keep up to date with what you got going on? Where can we send them?
Well, the label is Gorilla Funk, and it is at www.gorillafunk.com, spelled G-U-E-R-R. I-L-L-A, GorillaFunk.com. And then I'm on Twitter at Paris_GFR. And I'm on Facebook with some long-ass address, which I don't recall. But, you know, just search Paris Rapper on Facebook, and, you know, I'll come up. But yeah, man, Pistol Politics is the current record. And, you know, I guess we're going to get into a few of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool too. All right.
No doubt. Anyone in particular you want to hear? Anything in particular?
Yeah, let's jump off in. Well, before we go our separate ways, there are two of them I want to get into. One is called Buck Buck Pass, which is the current video that's out, which it was the second video off of Pistol Politics, and the second single, and it is a song that was written from the point of view of a firearm.
Gotcha.
And it is something that's resonating with a lot of people here because gun violence is so pervasive in the States. You know?
Yes.
Buck Buck Pass off Pistol Politics.
There we go. Here we go. Down with the Kings. Paris, thank you so much. To our listeners, let's go.
I was told, because I didn't witness the jump off. I was sick even before I got my first call. I was cold and black and made for killing, with no conscience or feelings. Just like the million other burners that's just like me. Assembly line made killers for the murder and bleed. Got my first taste loaded when they try to test me. Exploded on the first one, caught him in his chest. That's what a gat's made of. Knowing I'm the hate that hate made and regulate anyone. Equalize, neutralize any situation. Any cat running up, any confrontation. I was put into a room with the rest of us. With the rest of us, ready to bust many rounds. Any town, any city, or state. Never rest, any contest, sealing your fate. No mistake, only come out when the talking's done. After squawking some and never run, never fooling, and you just might lose. Black steel in the hour, get a power to the average dude. Shoot, click, clack, boom, that's the rule. Clear the room when I move them, cause confusion. Known for retribution, ain't no mercy, it's murder. I burn them and hurt them, no further words necessary.
We bring the pain to make it be in no pain to make you understand. Just blast it, pass it on again. Keep it moving when we
buck, buck, pass.
No fight, no need, no frozen in. We might go psycho, soldier then. Just line up, sight up, hold the grip. Keep it shooting when we
buck, buck, pass.
Guess I passed the first test cause they shipped me out. Extra clips and a quick grip to whoop me out. Turn nerds and these teenagers into killers. Overseas in Afghanistan, every village. I would go from being cold to warm to hot quick. If anybody wanted some, it's on. Once dumped on a whole neighborhood for fun. Even shoot you in your back if I caught your ass running. Little kids and their mamas too. Might pick your little man off the roof. Who's who? Don't matter cause they all look the same to me. The blood's fatter on the concrete. Stains and claims the streets. No peace from this piece. I squeeze them and beat them. Feed them slugs when the lugs get dumped. There's no reason and there's no use pleading. It's open season. We defeat them when it's heat to get heated. I bleed them and leave them.
We bring the pain to make it real. No pain to make you understand. Just blast it, pass it on again. Keep it moving when we
buck, buck,
pass. No fight, no need, no closing in. We might go psycho, soldier then. Just line up, side up, hold the grip. Keep it shooting when we
buck, buck, pass.
Made it back in one piece for sure. But can't say the same for the homeboy that brought me home. He was off on that PTSD. The PTSD was keeping him tweaking and testing. For long we was hitting the streets. Bloodshed wasn't nothing to me. We street sweeping with no relief. Full metal jacket as we pump them and dump them and stack them. Let's get it cracking. Be the first to burst. That who the last to last. I blast him to ashes and fill their little caskets fast. That's what I do. That's my job. I was made for the beef. Killing all 40 young black men and causing grief. Oakland, Frisco, Detroit, LA, Chicago. That's where I go. From city to city, backyard to yard, even Newtown, Connecticut. But now y'all wanna ban my clips. Hypocrites, never gave a damn about a black teen dying. Quit lying, take me down to your neighborhood, buy back. They so scared they don't wanna see me try that. But it's so many more like me. We multiply, never die, we exist to feed. We exist in America from corporate greed. In the midst of the fake fear, lying and evil.
Lying and evil.
Even got the police turning on each other. Black a pig with that get back, run for cover. Now it's all bad, funny how it's all bad. When the tables turn, got them shaking till they fall back. And you better hope we don't come for you. NRA, LaPierre, get them done for you. Never thought that we would come back and gun for you. Pull the hammer, smooth back, and then jump for you.
Most of the shootings took place in poor neighborhoods, far from downtown and tourist attractions. One reason much of the city seems to be shrugging its shoulders.
Just line up, side up, on the grip. Keep it shooting when we
buck, buck, pass.
We bring the pain to make it be. No pain to make you understand.
Old school, new school, and true school on Maximum FM Hip Hop.